Today is the 8th day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today. It's wonderful to be here every day. It's wonderful to have this place. Like in my heart and my mind, it's a safe place. It's a global campfire. It's a place we can come and let it go. And just, yeah, it's a safe place. So I'm glad to be here with you today. Take the next step forward and allow the scriptures to speak and to inform our lives and the paths that we are on and help us to interpret our lives. So let's dive in. We're reading from the Christian Standard Bible. We are rounding out the book of Deuteronomy. Right now we'll pick up, just so that we can understand like what we're about to read, we're picking up in the middle of a song. So we're picking up with the lyrics of a song, and this song was given by God to Moses, and this song is ultimately supposed to be a witness to the people of Israel against them, because God has foretold to Moses that although the people have been instructed well, they will remain rebellious, and when they do get into the land and they do rebel, they will have to face some consequences. And so that's what this song is about. And we'll conclude that song today and continue forward. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 28 through verse 52. Israel is a nation lacking sense, with no understanding at all. If only they were wise, they would comprehend this. They would understand their fate. How could one pursue 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them, unless the Lord had given them up? But their rock is not like our rock, as even our enemies concede. For their vine is from the vine of Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are poisonous, their clusters are bitter, their wine is serpent's venom, the deadly poison of cobras. Is it not stored up with me, sealed up in my vaults? Vengeance and retribution belong to me. In time their foot will slip, for their day of disaster is near, and their doom is coming quickly. The Lord will indeed vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their strength is gone and no one is left, slave or free. He will say, "Where are their gods, the rock they found refuge in? Who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you. Let it be a shelter for you. See now that I alone am he. There is no God but me. I bring death and I give life. I wound and I heal. No one can rescue anyone from my power. I raise my hand to heaven and declare, as surely as I live forever, when I sharpen my flashing sword and my hand takes hold of judgment, I will take vengeance on my adversaries and repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, while my sword devours flesh. The blood of the slain and the captives, the heads of the enemy leaders. Rejoice, you nations, concerning his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will take vengeance on his adversaries. He will purify his land and his people." Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and recited all the words of this song in the presence of the people. After Moses finished reciting all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "Take to heart all these words I am giving as a warning to you today, so that you may command your children to follow all the words of this law carefully. For they are not meaningless words to you, but they are your life. and by them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. On that same day, the Lord spoke to Moses, Go up Mount Nebo in the Abarim range in the land of Moab, across from Jericho, and view the land of Canaan I am giving the Israelites as a possession. Then you will die on the mountain that you go up, and you will be gathered to your people, just as your brother Aaron died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. For both of you broke faith with me among the Israelites at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, by failing to treat me as holy in their presence. Although from a distance you will view the land that I am giving the Israelites, you will not go there. Luke 12, 35 through 59. Be ready for service and have your lamps lit. You are to be like people waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can open the door for him at once. Blessed will be those servants the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will get ready, have them recline at the table, then come and serve them. If he comes in the middle of the night, or even near dawn and finds them alert, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the homeowner had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Lord, Peter asked, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord said, Who then is the faithful and sensible manager his master will put in charge of his household servants to give them their allotted food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom the master finds doing his job when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that servant says in his heart, My master is delaying his coming, and starts to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, that servant's master will come on a day he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know. He will cut him to pieces, and assign him a place with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, and didn't prepare himself or do it, will be severely beaten. But the one who did not know and did what deserved punishment will receive a light beating. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, even more will be expected. I came to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already set ablaze. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how it consumes me until it is finished. Do you think that I came here to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in 1 household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, When you see a cloud rising in the west, right away you say a storm is coming. And so it does. And when the south wind is blowing, you say it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why don't you know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the ruler, make an effort to settle with him on the way. Then he won't drag you before the judge. The judge hands you over to the bailiff, and the bailiff throw you into prison. I tell you, you will never get out of there until you have paid the last penny. Psalm 78, 56 through 64. But they rebelliously tested the Most High God, for they did not keep his decrees. They treacherously turned away like their ancestors. They became warped like a faulty bow. They enraged him with their high places and provoked his jealousy with their carved images. God heard and became furious. He completely rejected Israel. He abandoned the tabernacle at Shiloh, the tent where he resided among mankind. He gave up his strength to captivity and his splendor to the hand of a foe. He surrendered his people to the sword because he was enraged with his heritage. Fire consumed his chosen young men, and his young women had no wedding songs. His priests fell by the sword, and the widows could not lament. Proverbs 12:24. The diligent hand will rule, but laziness will lead to forced labor. Okay, let's go into the Gospel of Luke. I quote Jesus. I came to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already set ablaze. What is going on here? This is one of, if not the most exasperated moments captured in the Bible, in the life of Jesus. He goes on to say, do you think I came to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. So how does this work with our tidy little Sunday school stories? Like, how does this work? What is going on here? This seems like a departure in posture. Jesus says they will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Fascinating. What can do that in a widespread sort of way? Well, I can think of a couple things that can do that. One, that we all know because we've all borne witness that this can happen. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Politics. Right? So we shouldn't look at what Jesus is saying and go like, well, how is he so divisive? What's going on here? There's nothing in the world that could be that divisive to shred families wholesale. Yeah, we've seen it plenty. It's very, very possible. The other thing that can do this that I know of, and probably more true to what Jesus is saying, the truth can do this. We were just talking and even praying for eyes to see and ears to hear so that we might seek first God's kingdom yesterday. To see God's kingdom at work and participate in it does require that our eyes be open. Once that happens, though, you can't see the same. You can't unsee what you're seeing. You're seeing with new eyes. You're becoming aware of the presence of the Lord everywhere, which means that you're seeing the darkness and the evil lurking everywhere way more clearly, and you're realizing you had been participating in all of that, but now you can't unsee. Your reality has begun to shift. You are being transformed. You become a light bearer. Wherever you go, so goes the light. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness doesn't comprehend it and squirms into the shadows because what is in the dark does not want to be exposed to the light. And so it retaliates and attacks the light bearer. This is what Jesus is talking about. And he's saying, I wish this fire were already burning. Because the fire that he's talking about isn't a fire to like destroy planet Earth. It's a holy fire that eradicates deception. It burns away the false. Or as Jesus said, the truth will set you free. The thing is, this is somewhat fundamental to our faith. We know that transformation is the goal, is the process that we be transformed into the likeness of the Savior, that we become what we call Christ-like, which is like Christ. And when we look at Jesus in the Gospels, we can see clearly where we may be on that path, and we can see clearly where we are nothing like Christ. Probably, I'm thinking, should I say this? But probably, if we were to say, I don't know, examine the last 6 months of our social media posts, that might give us insight into ourselves. That might give us clues into what we're trying to say. And compare that to the life of Christ that we are supposed to be living. And it's funny how all of this stuff can get so interlocked, where we can feel like, well, I'm posting the truth on social media and I'm getting persecuted. Or other people think they're posting the truth, but it's my job to correct them and persecute them. And so we can get all kind of wound up into this religious fervor over certain things, but if we would step back, these are not the things Jesus deals with. This is not what he's talking about. I used to think that the world could be changed through a song. It's what drew me into music. I spent an awful lot of years looking for that song. A song does not exist. A song can change somebody's world, but not typically the world. A social media post isn't going to change the world. A radically transformed life that is full of light and life and good news, that can change a lot of things. There are 2 billion people on this planet that believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's the Savior of the world. That is an incredible amount of potential for light in the dark. The most interesting thing about all that Jesus is saying here, because we can espouse the rhetoric and say, like, this is an aggressive move forward for God's kingdom by force, and I need to get on board, and so I'm just going to light the torch and set things on fire. The most interesting thing is that the fire that we're talking about here, the fire is love. Jesus says this is how we will be known as his disciples. It's love that's the force that is more powerful than the darkness. It's love that transforms us into the image of Christ. It's love that will let Jesus allow himself to be executed by his own creation. Love is the thing, according to the scriptures, that conquers all. If we are doing things in love, in the name of Jesus, then we don't have to be confused about why the darkness would be attempting to retaliate. But if we're just using the same rhetoric and tactics that are prevalent, we're wasting energy. When we are literally doing what we're doing in profound respect and awe and love for Christ, and in profound understanding that love is the way of his kingdom, then we don't have to be confused about whether we're doing the right thing. Jesus is telling us what's going to happen so that we're not confused, and so that we understand that we are in the battle, if we want to call it a battle. We are bringing light and love into this world, which is how we were created to live. And so let's live into that and invite the Holy Spirit into that, because that's the voice we need. I can sit here and say all kinds of words, but I am a fellow pilgrim on the same path, but I know that I know that the Holy Spirit is present upon this earth and is calling to anyone who will listen. And I know from the scriptures that wisdom is upon this earth and she is calling to anyone who will listen. Let's listen. Let's listen and obey. And so, Holy Spirit, come. Again, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we might wake up, that it's time to wake up, that our slumber is over, that this is not purposeless or aimless. We are here to be transformed so that we can be ambassadors for your kingdom upon this earth, representing you upon this earth, so that others may cease their slumber. Come, Jesus, we pray in your mighty name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base, home of the global, I was going to say the famous, the world famous global campfire, but I don't think you even want to say that. It's our secret place. It's home of our secret place, the oasis that we come to and come together centered around the rhythm of the scriptures. So be aware of that. Check out the resources that are available in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. There are different categories there. Like, you can check out our Wind Farm coffee and tea that we roast and import, send all over the world. You can even have that sent to you, however much of it you want. A bag, two bags, three bags, four bags. Some people have 5-6 bags a month, and they have them at home and at work. And you can have that sent to you freshly roasted each month. So check that out. Check out the written resources to take this journey deeper in specific directions. Check out the Global Campfire line of resources. It's fun stuff for us to wear our colors as we move through the year and just be in this together. It is such a joy to have things all around that are reminders of the journey that we're on and the community that we're a part of. And so check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com as well. There's a link on the homepage. If you're using the Daily Audio Bible app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address, if that's your preference, is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can dial 877-942-4253, or you can just hit the hotline button that's in the app, the little red button up at the top, And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Shelley in Oklahoma. Walking my dogs on Easter morning out in the woods. It's beautiful. Wanted to call in because of the prayer request from Mama's Little Rock in Arkansas. And your prayer request for prayers because you're grieving about your mother touched my heart. Just made me in so much pain for you. I lost my mother 5 years ago this month, and it is still very difficult. But I wanted to tell you that while I was listening to your call, God just prompted me about a message that Brian had for us several years ago. And it was about little by little, that when the Israelites left Egypt, they weren't ready to be in the promised land. They had only known to be slaves, but little by little, God taught them how to take care of themselves, how to protect themselves, how to become free people, how to provide for themselves. And I think that's something that you might want to give some thought to, that you don't have to know everything your mother knew to get by in this world, and you will grieve her and ache for her probably for the rest of your life, as I do for my mother. But little by little, it will get a little less painful, and you will find your way. I'm praying for you, and I love you. This is Shelley in Oklahoma.
Hello, my wonderful DAB family. This is Rosie calling back. I'm sorry I'm calling back, but I need prayer. I'm still having a lot of problems with my son. I haven't seen him since July 11th of last year or heard his voice. And he had COVID in November, and they still told me that I had to quarantine even though I hadn't seen him because I saw his son. I was around his son. But his son didn't have COVID either. But anyway, I believe that he's going through the change of life or having a midlife crisis or something. I'm not real sure, but he's not the same son that I raised, and he's just totally different. And well, for one thing, he's away from God, and I think he's still angry because his dad died when he was 13, and we were believing that his dad was going to be healed, and he wasn't. Well, he got the ultimate healing, and I believe my son has been angry ever since at God. So I think that's what he needs prayer for. And this past week has been a tough week because my husband has, he went home to be with the Lord 28 years ago. And every time during this part of the year, I struggle. And I would think after 28 years, I would it wouldn't be so hard. But it's not as hard as it was, but I still, you know, struggle with it. But anyway, I would really appreciate your prayers. I love you.
Hi, it's Donna from California. And I heard a prayer request. This was actually April 5th from James. And first I want to say, I could call in to everybody about everybody's prayer request. I feel just like it's drawn out of me to do that. I want to respond to each and every one of them. Of course, that would be a lot of calling in, but so I won't attempt that. But please know I do lift up your prayer, a prayer with each one when I hear it. But James, yours really touched me in particular, listening to it. Could definitely hear this pain. Divorce just rips people apart. I've been through one. I know lots of people who've been through one or more understand that it just it brings you to that point where you would just rather not have to go on. I'm glad that you have a safety plan. Think of your children, I'm sure that you are. And let's just pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, I lift up James to you. He's in a world of pain. His wife is asking for a divorce. The word is just so horrible and ugly. Pray that you touch her heart. If there is any way that, and there is with you, that things can be reconciled, I pray for that. In your holy name, amen.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Paula, the child advocate from the LA area calling. It is the Monday after Easter, and I sure hope you all had a lovely, joyous Easter, as I did, celebrating with my family. I'm calling this morning because I heard James, the teacher from LA, call in. James, it's been a long time. I've never forgotten you. I've heard you right from the beginning, many years ago, when you started calling in. And I was so happy to hear your voice, but saddened to hear why you were calling, that your wife wanted a divorce. And I just wanted to let you know, James, that you and your wife will be in my prayers. And I know that you know that God can do anything, all things. So I'm going to be praying that you and your wife can reconcile and the Lord will change her heart. And I'm happy to hear that you have a safety plan in place. James, you are so important to all of us and to your wife and to everyone in your life. So I'm happy to hear that. Please know that I love you and we all love you. And one more message to the young woman who called in that lost her mother. Dear girl, I know what that's like. Most of us do. And I think to myself, how wonderful and fortunate we were that we had such wonderful mothers that we miss them so much. Because working with foster children, I see how many of them have mothers that are not the type like our mothers, you know, that maybe they don't miss them as much because their mothers were not as good to them as our mothers. So please know that I'm praying for you and that one day your heart will not be as heavy. Bless you all, DAB family. I love you. I listen to your prayers. I pray for you. Paula from LA. Bye for now.
Good morning. This is Carlos Valenzuela from Brooklyn. I call a couple of times, and I've been listening for more than 10 years to Brian. Please, I need you. I need all of your prayers. I had COVID. Now my wife had COVID. My daughter Jacqueline had COVID. My grandson Isaiah got COVID. My grandson Elijah got COVID. Please, please ask the Lord to forgive me if I do anything wrong. I need you. I need your prayers, please. Please pray for me. May the Lord to take away this COVID from us. Oh, please, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name. Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Daily Audio Bible. Thank you.
Thank you.